You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What's up and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. I am your host Rafe Houston and today I am joined by a very special guest. He is one of the voices of ICW No Holds Barred, of Expected, oh fuck, I've already fucked up Struggles Company, ETU Wrestling, Expect the Unexpected Wrestling, Remarkable Wrestling, PWJ, he's all over the place. It is Iron Jack Solomon. How are you today, my man?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm good. I can't believe I fucked up the man's wrestling company so early in, just after his intro.
It's one of the main heel faction.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Well, then that's totally fine then. I won't be in trouble about that at all. So, Iron Jack, very excited to have you on, man. I've been listening to your commentary since you first started. So I'm very excited to get you in here and find out how you made your way onto our airwaves. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. So we've got lots coming up, but let's rewind all the way back to the start. When you think back to how you got into professional wrestling, when you think of some of those first faces that caught your attention and made you fall in love with the kind of insane but also magical world of pro wrestling, who jumps out at you?
So I got into wrestling properly a lot later, oh. I think, than you know.
Like, educated choice as an adult rather than like,
say, exactly. I remember I have like a very distant memory of watching Batista versus The Undertaker at Mania one year at an auntie's house. Uh-huh. That's like when I was however old that is. Was that 2007? So I'm 8.
Sure.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that was like initially like, oh, this is cool. But then it just like didn't register to me. Like I kind of had the same opinion of the like, oh, well, that's the fake shit.
So what you're saying is that Batista didn't deliver a good enough match to get you into wrestling right then and there.
No, because I love Batista now. Yeah. Okay. So I think I've gotten dumber maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe. When I was 8. Regressed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We aim to move forward and all I've done is taken 4 steps back.
Like the Benjamin Button of wrestling. This guy.
But initially, probably like 2013 is when I got into it. Mm-hmm. Enough to, you know, make an Instagram account and try to find people that are also into it because nobody around me was into it. So I looked for an online community.
Yeah.
And that right initially it was just like WWE stuff. And then I would find clips of stuff on YouTube, like Thunder Files and stuff like that. Just like move compilations, get you into it. So probably at that point, it was just like Rey Mysterio, Daniel Bryan, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that made me expand beyond that was when Kenta debuted for NXT.
Sure.
Because for whatever reason, I don't know why, he just caught my eye. He like, they made him out to be a big deal when he debuted and I had never heard of him. So I was like, who the hell is this? Mm. So I Googled and it led me to Kenta versus Kenta Kobashi, which I found on YouTube. I watched everything on that YouTube channel, fell in love with Japanese wrestling, led me to independent wrestling. And now I'm going to Japan to call Jun Kasai.
Yeah. It's kind of insane how that works. It's just so easy, really, when you put it that way.
Step one, step two, step three, profit.
There you go. It all works out. That era of NXT, like when Kenta came in, like when they were first starting to step up at NXT and you were seeing Prince Devitt and, you know, Kevin Steed and, you know, all these guys, El Generico, debut for NXT, really I think was like a gateway for when WWE can do their best work. And it worked the same for me. Like I was getting into stuff and starting to go a little bit deeper in wrestling. I'd already just discovered New Japan thanks to, I don't even know how I thought. It must have been NXT first. because Prince Devitt made me find out what the Bullet Club was, and then it was around the time that AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura had their Wrestle Kingdom match, which I watched at that Wrestle Kingdom, and then I was like, what the fuck is this? This is like everything I've ever wanted in wrestling. And then, you know, it snowballed from there. I feel like, I don't know, with meddling and things like that, NXT sort of lost its way for a bit. I haven't watched it like in a long time, but in that early era, they were doing some pretty awesome shit, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think in retrospect, it very much felt like Ring of Honor.
Yes.
When you go back and you watch those old shows, obviously a lot of the same guys, but it kind of had that same feel of like the kind of what we try to do with ECU with like the premium indie with a budget.
Yeah.
Though we seem to make it worth without one.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
We don't got fed money, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. I do think that as where the Fed is like now and with kind of Triple H in charge and things like that. And as he is, I don't know, looking to expand, and there's kind of rumors about maybe more expansion and heading towards Japan again. He's been trying to sort of get in there for a while. I do feel a little less nervous about it, I think, than if Vince was in charge from back in the day. Because I do think that he does seem to be a genuine fan of wrestling.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think it's a fair assessment, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how that'll plan out. I don't know how you – I don't know. I think knowing, like, Japan like I do, like, things that are traditional and, like, have been there for a long time and stuff, I think will always stay. I don't think they're the kind to just, like, you know, burn the indies to the ground and just be a WWE territory, you know what I'm saying?
They need feeders, you know?
Yeah, exactly right. It's all going to work out. So after watching that and getting into, I mean, we already covered your whole, we could wrap up the episode really, watch wrestling, you know, get into Japanese wrestling, call it, go to Japan. That was very easy. But if we zoom in a little bit deeper than that, how did you make the leap into commentary or even just being involved with wrestling, you know, because you spoke about trying to find a community online and things like that. Nobody you knew really knew it, much the same for me. I mean, I was growing up in Australia and it wasn't even on TV here, you know, when I was younger. And so I was like getting magazines or like renting VHS tapes and things like that. How did you continue to sort of go deeper and maybe find the independent stuff like that?
It's pretty much all through Instagram initially. I made like a little account where I talked about wrestling, and I would do these long write-ups because at that time I wasn't doing anything. But when I went to college, I have a history background, so writing long, like trying to be compelling accounts of matches, of times, of the history of a company, something like that was really fun for me. Mm-hmm. So just doing I'm a kind of person where once I get into something, I need to know everything about it.
Sure.
So with that kind of thing, it was like, okay, I'd be sitting there on my phone, you know, Googling whatever, Pro Wrestling Noah, click a link, keep going, click a link, keep going. And that would be, you know, nights.
Yeah.
So that would be the way that it would go. And you just get like immersed in it, and then you're watching the matches as well, and you can feel the story going.
Yeah.
And even the commentary, which I didn't understand, I don't understand Japanese, you kind of got a sense of when things were important.
Yeah.
And being able to tell that story felt very compelling to me. It's something that I've wanted to do. Uh-huh. I like talking. I like hearing myself talk, unfortunately, to the unfortunate of everybody else. And getting involved actually with independent wrestling was pretty much all struggles.
Yeah.
Like he got involved and I was he jokingly calls me his young boy. That's probably the correct term.
Yeah, sure. We're all a struggles young boy in one way or another.
Yeah, exactly. And he'll tell you.
Absolutely will. He I mean, you probably know through just mutual conversations and stuff, he really played a big part in helping me sort of find my way into podcasting, because I was much the same as you. Like, I like knowing things about things, and when I get like right into something, I'll go through waves of like, there's a thing I'm really into, and so that is the thing that I'm kind of obsessed with knowing everything about, and then it's out of my control, my focus will change, and then I no longer care about that thing, right? And then I'm then I'm on to the next thing. Wrestling in kind of a wild way is the thing I've been the most consistent with for kind of my entire life, of all my trivial pursuits, you know. It's always, and I've had my ups and downs with it, but I always keep finding ways to sort of refresh my interest, be it a new company, be it new talent, be it the podcast endeavor, into commentary, whatever it may be. I keep finding ways to make myself focus on it and like enjoy it. But yeah, I used to, in the same way that you did, I had gotten into New Japan. I had gone to wrestling. I discovered deathmatch wrestling in Japan, and so I wanted to know more about it. And I was like Googling different American wrestlers that I'd seen on like a GCW show that had been recommended or whatever. And I think I Googled something like Jimmy Lloyd or something like that, interview or whatever, and found sort of like a back way into the Spotlight series feed, and then started listening to Strugs. And then, being who I am, I then go back to the start and listen to like everything, because I need to understand the history of everything. And and then he used to always say, and he's way more encouraging to people than I am, which I mean, I feel a little bit bad about. I should probably say the similar kind of things on my podcast, but he used to always say, like, you, anybody can do this shit. It is a great way to, you know, get to know people and to, you know, express your hobby. And if you ever want to do it, like, message me. I'll help you. I'll tell you what you need, whatever. And I did. And he was very generous with his time and gave me, you know, advice and things like that. He was just really cool. And I imagine it was kind of the same for you. Did you meet him through Instagram, or did you know him through like other means in life? I mean, you guys are all American, so you might just run into each other on the street.
through Instagram, because he had started the podcast, and he was selling like DVDs and stuff.
Yes, like all his Ring of Honor collection and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he would do lives sometimes where he would talk about that kind of stuff, and I was there just a lot whenever he would pop up. And then he mentioned going to a show that was local to me. So I was like, oh, are you close? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, I'm over here. And he was 20 minutes from me.
Oh, wow.
So we were like, oh, okay. Do you want to go together?
Yeah.
It was like one of those
like
things.
Like a date?
He was like, sure.
Yeah.
And we went. And we ended up going.
Yeah.
And then when he got there, he was like, oh, he was like, oh, you're like 16. And I was like, yes.
He's like, oh, I'm a predator. But it's one of those things, right? Like you'd been around, I guess, each other's accounts and interacting on the internet for so long, you don't even like think about that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, I know who this person is. Like, you know.
Yeah. Basically, it was one of those things where he was like, oh, you're 16. And I was like, oh, you're like 35. Like, basically. I had been on the internet probably way too early to begin with.
Sure.
So this was normal for me. I was like, yeah, I have older friends that I only see online.
Yeah.
And it was like, I have no one to go to a wrestling show with, and it feels weird to go to one by myself. Yeah. So this is nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you've run into like a person that is a good person and is, you know, reliable and those things.
Yeah, it really could have gone poorly.
It could have gone very poorly for you. I mean, especially with some of the kinds of people that traverse the wrestling scape. I'm very glad that of the Russian roulette of online older men to meet up with at a wrestling show, you got him.
Yeah. And we had like we ended up making a group chat with like a ton of us.
Yeah.
That is still together. It's like a 10 year, at this point, it's like almost 10 years.
Wow.
This group chat.
Yeah.
And now, you know, some of them have gotten married and had kids, and now we're like unofficial uncles. So
yeah, yeah. And you just, like, is it just wrestling content or just hopefully Struggles isn't just playing the long game.
I don't think he can do that to me anymore. I'm 26.
Yeah, well, so, then it works out then. And so I guess, was he at that point, he would have already been starting to do commentary by then, hey? Like,
No.
Oh, so you were around when he first started getting those opportunities then?
I was there when he was a guy selling DVDs.
Yeah, sure.
So he was a guy selling DVDs. Then he starts the podcast where he was interviewing us. That's basically, I never got an episode, but he was interviewing. Hello, doggy. Sorry, saw the dog.
That's Mochi. She's on my lap.
Yeah. So then he was a podcast host. He's interviewing us, like other wrestling fans. And then he gets, I think the first wrestler was John Silver.
Yeah, right.
And after that, it became like, oh, now he's making some connections. Mm-hmm. They find out that he works in graphic design, and he ends up doing some stuff with different independent promotions, mm-hmm. GCW and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we meet Danny through GCW.
Yes.
And he takes over ICW New York. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I think... No, the first thing he did was... I want to say the first thing he did was Blind Pig, which was the little independent show that Giancarlo, who does like graphics and video work mm-hmm. for a couple big companies.
I'm yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
But he was awesome. Giancarlo was a great dude. Mm-hmm. And... he offered him a spot. He did a really weird independent show in New Jersey with MLJ. And that was his first experience. And then after that, he got the bug, started doing ICW New York, and got some consistent work. And at that point, obviously I wasn't thinking I'm going to be there. Mm-hmm. But at that point I was like, oh, it's possible.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of opens the door a little bit, like, oh, I love to hear myself talk. I love talking about wrestling. I know heaps of wrestling history and things like that. He's done it, so it is possible to find a way into it. I had a similar journey with, like, when I first started seeing local bands for the first time. Like, I had never, when I grew up in kind of like a smaller city and things like that, like, our schools didn't even have music programs or anything. But when I moved to the bigger city that you see behind me right now, Perth, West Australia, I moved in with a mate and he had like instruments there, and I started dabbling with the bass guitar, and I was like, oh yeah, this is a bit of fun. And then we went and saw like an independent show, and they're just dudes, they're just like Perth guys like me, and I'm like, oh, if I like practice enough and I got together some friends, we could probably play this, we could probably come here and do this, and then, you know, you just do the work. And then you do the next, and then you do that show, and then you go, oh, if we kind of got demos to the right people and kept doing it, we could maybe support a band, or we could maybe release an album, or we could go on tour. And then next thing you know, you've been doing it for 10 years and you like release multiple albums and shit, and you're like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, there's that like barrier of entry that's not real, to be honest. Like, you can get there. It's just, it seems impossible at first.
You need the pathway.
Once you're past it, it's just difficult.
Yes, exactly. And that's what Struggles was for me as well. Like podcasting, commentary. I probably would have never even tried commentary if I hadn't seen him do it.
Yeah.
He had kind of talked about sort of just being like, oh yeah, I can do it. And then kind of like figuring it out. It was kind of much the same for me even here, like when I was helping Dude Where's My Ring get started. And I was like, oh, who do you have for commentary? And they're like, nobody. I was like, do you want me to just sort it out? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, great, now I have to figure out how to do this. I've just booked myself into this thing and I now need to do it. And, yeah, that's what it is. And so I'm so stoked for you, man, that you managed to find your way into it at, like, such a young age. Like, Struggles and I are older men. I'm actually older than Struggles, despite him being, like, you know, somewhat of a mentor to me. I'm older than him. And, you know, we're on
both
our...
have more hair than me.
Yeah. Well, I do have a luscious head of hair, I will say that. But he, yeah, he kind of cracked that door open, and you at your age, you've still got so many years and so many opportunities ahead of you. I think it's really great. And the fact that, you know, you're going to be doing something like Japan and stuff coming up in like 1 week, which is fucking nuts, is absolutely wild.
Yeah, it's I don't have necessarily like imposter syndrome, because it literally, my thought process is, I don't think this is that hard.
Yeah.
Once you're there, it's like, you're in it. I'm having fun. Uh-huh. When I'm doing commentary, I'm having fun. It's work. Like, I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And it's something that I have to focus on and do it correctly. But this is something where once I got through and felt like I could truly just call the show, you know, put over the talent, tell the stories that we're trying to tell, get to my spots and, you know, throw it to the other person. Uh-huh. Once that flow was established, it was like, oh, I want to do this for like as long as I possibly can.
Yeah, sure.
It was one of those moments where it like clicked for me, mm-hmm. and not a lot of things were clicking at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's so awesome. And like being where you are and like the opportunities you have to start putting in those reps. And like, I mean, I listed off a bunch of companies right at the start. It's one thing to maybe have like a doorway through connections and through networking, things like that. It's another thing at all, like altogether, to keep it and to then expand and, you know, more people to hire you and things like that. You know what I mean? So I do think that you can let go of that imposter thing, you know, like completely at this stage, because, you know, you're putting in the reps and you've called whole shows like on your own, which is crazy.
Yeah. Joey Styles, that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't had to do that just yet, but I also like to talk a lot. It's not high on my list of things to do. Like, I'm sure I could. I started the podcast just talking to myself, so I'm sure I could just keep on banging on for ages, but I'm sure it's a lot more work.
Yeah, I mean, the first one I did that with was at the H2O Wrestling Center, so you don't have a monitor.
Oh, wow.
So Jerry just let me talk.
Yeah.
So he threw it, you know, he would throw it to commercial, and I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm just going.
Just bagging along for ages.
Yeah, I went back and watched, and I was like, why did it? I was like, it just stopped in the middle of a sentence. Because I'm like, oh, here we go, you know. We've had an amazing night of wrestling, and then it just cuts to the fucking buy the merch.
That's so rough. That's the thing. It's the other thing to talk about as well, is that you've done it live to like the internet. Like everything I do, because I live in the fucking the other side of the world and in the sticks and stuff, everything I record, though I record a lot of it live, it's recorded to post, you know, and then things get edited. So usually we'll just record it match by match kind of thing. Like it finishes and then we'll go to like the next one, restart up, you know, when the music hits kind of thing. It must be an entirely different thing to just keep banging on, you know, and just absolutely talking it.
I way prefer it though. Now I've done both now. We've done post commentary for the UK shows, and then I've also done post commentary for this promotion in New York called Wild Zero. And it's such a different experience from just calling live, because I mean, I've been lucky, because most of the time when I'm doing it, I'm calling with Struggs, and we've been friends for 10 years, so it's easy. You're just talking with your friend about wrestling, you know. But for that, it was like for Wild Zero, I just watched the show and then talked about it like as if I was there.
Yeah.
And for the UK shows, we were sitting on his couch with mics watching the shows back.
Yeah.
And initially it was supposed to be match by match. And we were both like, I don't like match by match, because then I have to reset.
Yeah.
And you're like, ugh. But if I'm just calling, you know, Struggs gets to go keeping it rolling, you know.
Yeah.
And
then
you just go. It's a lot more. You get more in the flow. Like, you get looser.
Absolutely.
Like first match, I always feel like is a stinker.
Yeah.
And then you get more loose, you know, you're warming up. So.
And I think that kind of vibe, and it's a way I sort of would then go on to approach my commentary, is that like ICW all night long, you know, you and Struggs, like two guys watching a show and you're watching it with your buddies kind of thing. And that is the vibe I also like to do. And when you're doing that live and sort of the crowd can sort of hear your fatigue and hear your excitement and things like that, that all plays into it.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever spoken about it completely, but my thought process behind the way that we do commentary for NHB is like a friend showing you a movie.
Yes.
And watching it with you.
Yes.
And being like, oh, this is a good part. Yeah. Like, you need to know this. That's, you know, that kind of thing.
That's a great way to describe it. Absolutely. And then
Yeah.
Sorry, you go.
No, it was just it's one of those things where I can do super for ETU. I think it's a completely different vibe.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to be more professional. We're having fun, obviously, but it's our company. We're trying to put together the stories. For NHB, it's a lot more laid back, but we're still in it.
Yeah,
like we're not taking the night off or anything.
Yeah.
But it's I think going too stringent. It worsens things. Like when I did that first show by myself and I was by myself, I was literally like, I have no one to banter with. I'm just going to call the show.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can make myself laugh occasionally, but it's really just, okay, here's everything you need to know about Otis Koger.
Yeah.
And then when that's over, I'm like, well, now I just have to call the match.
Yeah.
So
yeah, sure.
It becomes a lot less fun.
Yeah, and so now if you've had to do solo stuff, is that how you approach it, like a one-sided conversation a little bit? Like you said, like a friend showing a friend a movie, like, now what you got to know about this? It's blah, 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 and I'm talking like, just like, hey, man, but the man is your audience, you know?
Yeah, I think it's, I think what's served me very well is being able to feed off of other people, because I've now called with like a bunch of different people.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm by myself, I'm feeding off of myself, and that's where you get the most self-conscious, which I think is why I just go to buy the book.
Yeah.
So I think if I got the opportunity to do a solo show by myself again, I would try to implement that, like you were saying, with the just like, hey man, worst case scenario, someone's going to mute this anyway. Just go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Just let him cook and see how it goes from there.
Yeah,
no, totally. All right, well, as we look at that, the natural progression of the interview has led us to ICW No Holds Barred and upcoming trip to Japan. I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. It's all going to be very, very exciting. Tell me a little bit just about your thoughts on what it means to finally go to Japan, let alone be working there for wrestling.
I am your typical white man from America, so naturally Japan has always been a goal to go. I've been fascinated with it for a while, and then when I found out that the thing I like, wrestling, has an entire culture around it in Japan that has its own special kind of wrestling, and I really like that kind of wrestling, it was like day one, I want to go. And so getting that opportunity from Danny was very exciting. It was very overwhelming. But at this point, I want to get there. I'm like antsy.
Yeah.
Like something's going to go wrong and I'm not going to be able to go. And like, even if I fuck it up, I can say I went, and then I'll be encouraged to smash it the second time. That kind of thing.
Yeah. You're not going to fuck it up. It is going to be totally fine. You've got, you know, your crew around you. You're essentially taking your familiar and safe space with you to perform that as a traveling show in another country, which is pretty amazing. Like, it's the best way to do it and to start to make your connections and do those different things is to do it in your place of strength. And so I think you guys are going to have, like, an amazing time, dude.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point now where we're like close, so everyone's like a little stressed out about like getting to everything.
Yeah.
But in my head, every show that we've done that's that's somewhere else, Boston, Detroit, Chattanooga, whatever.
Yeah.
My idea of a good time is walking around.
Oh. Well,
so
get ready.
I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know?
And everything in Japan, especially in Tokyo, is very, like, easy to get to, you know? Plus, you can just, like, hit the street and walk, and you'll just be like, I'm in a city street. Oh, wait, there's a temple. Oh, where did that secret park come from? Like, what? Like, it's just an amazing place. Like, my wife and I think, this is going to be like our 11th or 12th trip to Japan, something like that, this particular one. And there's a reason why we keep going back. And it like ain't for anime. You know what I mean? Like yeah. We just enjoy getting around the country. It's a beautiful place, very, you know, polite and kind people. It just restores my faith in humanity whenever I go there. And we just like to book all our own trips and get on the trains and just like live the Japanese lifestyle. And it's a very affordable and nice lifestyle if you're not like trying to always, you know, hit the hits, do the Disneys, do the things like that that are really expensive. If you're just like living like a standard Japanese person and eating where they eat and doing those things, it's a very fun and nice place to be. And I think you're going to have a blast, dude. I say to everybody when we're talking this, I'm like, make sure you've got data in your phone, get like an international travel sim or, you know, one of those apps that changes your thing so you can do that. Then just put it in your Google Maps and be like, I want to go here. Then you catch the red train to the blue train to the what, you know what I mean? It's totally fine. The public transport's literally the best. It's always on time and you're going to have an amazing time. And plus, if you get lost, just message your boy and then I will help you because I will also be there.
Yeah, there you go. Works out. I am excited that we're going with so many people.
Yeah.
Initially, I booked like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So the first week is we're with everyone. And then the second week, I'm basically just like, okay, I'm going to do the things that I don't need to see. I don't need other people with me to do.
Uh-huh.
Not in like a weird way, mm-hmm. in like a having those moments where I it's not as rushed because we're trying to get as many things as possible into that week.
Absolutely. Like that. Like, well, you'd be doing that work thing, right? Because you are there to be, and you'll need to be at the venue and you'll need to do that stuff. So it doesn't leave you a lot of time to be getting around and seeing those extra things. What dates are you there from?
I'm there from the 16th until the 28th.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Nice. I'm also there. We fly in on the 14th. So I think it'll end up being like the 15th through the 28th as well.
Yeah. Like we're landing like, midday on the 16th, so it's like the okay, this is the day where I'm gonna be a zombie for a while. We're gonna go to the 7-Eleven,
yeah,
obviously. and then the trip will start on the 17th, basically. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Well, I know most of the ICW crew aren't around in that second week. We're out to the mountains and stuff, but we do finish in Yokohama on like the 27th, 28th or whatever. So if you're about and a lonely boy or whatever and you want to hang, we can catch up if by that point you've had your fill of like trying to see everything.
Yeah, well, the plan is Osaka, Kyoto for that second week and coming back and finishing the last 2 days in Tokyo because like I'm like there are things that Strugs's wife Carrie and the sister we were talking in the group chat and they had a moment where I did immediately feel bad because they were like, we're there for a week and three of the days are show days,
yeah,
so we're trying to get everything in. And then I was like, oh yeah, so that first week I'm like, we're gonna make sure you guys see what you need to see.
Yeah.
And the second week, you know, that's
you're going out.
That's for me.
Tokyo, but, you know, is like the most amazing city. You could spend a month there and not see everything. You know what I mean? There's so much. It's almost impossible to see everything. I can tell you this because my wife's like Google Maps is just nothing but star icons. Like if you look at like Japan zoomed out, it's just a yellow blob. And as she goes in, it's just like hundreds. He's showing me a notes app of just a list forever. And so you know, hit those sides. There's such nice places. We maybe it was last year, maybe it was the year before. We did one where we spent a week, started the trip for a week just in Kyoto, just getting around. There's so much to see, and a lot of it, especially like up there, you know, those, that kind of temple region. So the only way to get there is by bus. And so even though the things aren't that far apart, it just takes longer because you've got to catch this bus all the way up to this, and then you go in and see, and then you go get the next one, and then go, you know, it's, whereas if you had a car, you could just go bang, 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 and knock them all out, you know?
Yeah, this initial trip, like the literally the way I'm thinking about it is this is the first trip, and I'm getting another one eventually.
Yeah.
But in case it doesn't happen for whatever reason, I at least got there.
You got to do it, like, right. And you just got to sleep when you get back to America. Like, you just got to get in as much as you can.
Yeah, I was like, I got Tokyo, I got Kyoto, I got Osaka. That's what I wanted. And we're doing Kobe as a special because the Dragon Gate people, apparently we made a good enough impression. They invited us. That's still fucking mind-blowing to me.
That's so cool. That's really cool. Kobe is like a cool little city. We went there for the first time just recently. It's like a big jazz town. Lots of saxophones everywhere and stuff. Yeah, beef and jazz. They love it.
Something else to do.
Yeah, exactly. So, you're going to have an amazing time, dude. There's no wrong answers. There's no, you know... Don't like you said, it's like, don't feel bad. Like, oh, I didn't get to it. There'll be things that you have planned and that'll be on that sheet. You'll go there. It just won't be open that day. And there'll be no reason. Like, the internet will say it should be. It's Japan. They didn't feel like it. It's not on. And you just got to go, this is Japan. On to the next thing, because there's plenty of other things. You know what I mean? Don't let it get you down. You're going to see something else.
The list we have, there's a million options.
Exactly. You just keep working through it. Don't let it bring you down, and you're going to have an amazing time, yeah?
Definitely.
That's so exciting. Man, tell everybody where to find you on social media if they want to interact with you and see pictures of your trip and everything like that.
Yeah. Iron Jack Solomon on Instagram. Jack Solomon ETU on X, Twitter, whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. And ICW and No Holds Barred. It's going to be an amazing show. Very excited. I think we just announced the full card for the first Tokyo show.
Yeah.
And other than that, I don't really know what's happening anymore because unfortunately Daisuke Sekimoto got injured. So there might be a couple other substitutions.
Yeah. That was really sad to hear. I hope he's going to be okay. We even talked about him on like some of the last interviews. He's somebody that I really enjoy watching wrestle. So that is a shame.
He was going to be like a bookend moment for me too, because the first thing I ever did in wrestling was ring the bell for ICW Concrete Jungle, which was Eddie Kingston versus Daisuke Sekimoto.
Oh, wow. Yeah, sure. And
so I was like, oh, that could be cool, but obviously it didn't work out that way. Thankfully, it seems like the injury is as low-key as a spine injury.
Exactly.
Hopefully he comes back because that man's a living legend, and just the idea that I was on a card with him would have been amazing.
Exactly. Our first, when we stumbled into our first big Japan show before seeing like our first big death match, he was the strong champion at the time and wrestled, and he made a huge impression on us. I think he's I completely agree with you. And I'm sure that moment will come back around, especially, you know, you got to get back to Japan again. So hopefully it'll happen. And hopefully this tour like begins to open a gate for ICW No Holds Barred. You'll notice I didn't say door. I didn't go for the easy fucking fruit of that bullshit.
You went for the Dragon Gate joke, though.
Exactly. That's where we're heading. But hopefully that opens, you know, relationships and stuff where maybe it turns into like an annual pilgrimage for ICW, you know? So
would be cool.
We'll have to see. Sure. Absolutely. Well, Jack, man, it's so nice to finally meet you. I've been watching from afar. Like, just loving your work and loving seeing your growth and everything. And I look forward to meeting you in person and shaking your hand in just like a week or so. Yeah.
Yeah. Likewise. I appreciate it. It really does mean the world that a world, for whatever reason, I don't really know why, people in wrestling seem to like me. And I was told, the first thing that got me into the door was I was told Danny DeMonto likes you and I don't know why. So it's worked out ever since, because even when everyone's stressed and doing everything, they're still nice to me for some reason. And I don't know what vibe I give off that makes everyone nice to me, but I am eternally grateful. And being able to do this is absolutely a dream come true. And for you to tell me that, for you, somebody who knows wrestling as well as you do, to say that I'm doing a good job, means the world. Thank you, man.
No, you're welcome, dude. I can't wait to see you doing your thing in Japan. It's going to be amazing. So everybody, make sure you tune into everything ICW No Holds Barred. Make sure you check out all Jack's socials. Give the kid a follow. He's got big things, and I think with Struggles and I have both hung up our old man hats and a long since done, I think you can see a very bright future for Jack Solomon, and he'll be carrying the flag long after we're dead and buried, I guess. So, I can't wait to see what's coming for you, man. So thank you for your time, yeah?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. And everybody out there, do all those things I said, and remember, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Peace.
Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Countout Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy, and the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast, and you can check out the Countout Network and all our sister shows over there at Countout Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Hello, my name is Jessica and I'm the host of Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring, and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds, and more. It's all covered on Jumping Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while, covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune into Jumping Knee Pod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.